My guest today is David Hoffman. He is a contributing editor for The Washington Post and for Foreign Policy magazine. But most importantly, he's a recent awardee of the Pulitzer Prize for his fabulous book, The Dead Hand. There's no way in a short interview here we can begin to talk about all the things. This book has just been fascinating, and anyone who is interested in the Cold War or in national security, this has got to be at the top of your must-read list. It talks about so much information about the biowarfare program, a tremendous amount on nuclear, about the whole strategy of the end of the Cold War. But instead of getting into that, what I would like to focus on in our interview here this morning, David, is the lessons that you have learned from studying, having all this inside information, and how some of those lessons apply to the challenges we face today.
You know, one of the big lessons when you study these events closely is how little we really understood our adversary. You know, this Soviet system was self-evidently coming apart, right? We saw breadlines. We knew that central planning wouldn't work. We were skeptical about socialism as a political model, but we always feared the Soviet military. We thought that for everything else that they were this mighty, powerful, and strong adversary. But when the Cold War ended and we got in there and looked at the documents, we realized that a lot of what we saw wrong in the economic system and political system was also true in the military. And we didn't get it. We didn't understand that there was, some of their radar systems were falling apart, that the rockets were rust buckets, and that they couldn't really carry on a competition like this, that it was slowly bleeding them dry. Secondly, we didn't understand the radical intentions that Mikhail Gorbachev had when he came to power until years later. And he really was ready to go very far, very early, but we were caught in a Cold War mindset, and it took us a long time to figure Gorbachev out. We might have been able to do a lot more sooner in terms of ending the Cold War arms race, but we had no human intelligence inside the Kremlin at the time. So we didn't know what he was thinking, and in some ways we didn't make good enough effort to find out. So how does that apply to today? Know your adversary is, I think, the big lesson to come out of this. Do we know today more about Ahmadinejad in Iran than we did about Gorbachev in 1985? Do we know what Kim Jong-il is really up to? What does he want? What drives him? And I think that if we try harder to get inside these places and understand what the real circumstances are, we'll be a lot better at managing the crises and the adversarial relationship.
This reads sometimes like a Tom Clancy novel, this work of nonfiction you have about the spies going on about, and you talk about how the Soviets were trying to figure out what we were thinking about. How effective were they figuring out Ronald Reagan?
They were very poor at it. In fact, I quote from a fellow who was sitting in the Central Committee right there in the heart of their government, and I got his records and I got his files, and he says, you know, those KGB guys, they were overwhelmed by the fact that America was an open society. And when Reagan announced his strategic defense initiative, you know, the KGB sent back tons of reports, and they came across this guy's desk. 30-40% of the intelligence reports that came across his desk were about SDI. And you know what he said? He said the Soviet spies were afraid of underestimating Reagan's program, so they overestimated it.
You know, John Kennedy, I remember a story he wrote one time when he was meeting Khrushchev. He said, how do your generals get you to fund new weapon systems? And before Khrushchev could answer, Kennedy said, wait a minute, let me tell you how mine do. They say, oh, the Soviets are building even bigger missiles and faster airplanes. And Khrushchev just smiled. It sounds like it went on through Brezhnev and Gorbachev era and into the Ronald Reagan era. But so, you know, many people say in our intelligence apparatus in the Cold War was pretty good at figuring out capabilities about the Soviets, but we didn't know much about intentions. You would even question the capability.
I think that there's some truth to what you say. We were certainly best at figuring out hardware capabilities. We were certainly worst at getting inside the mindset of the leaders.
From your inside research, from working on this book and what new things you learned, how close did we come to an accidental war with the Soviets?
You know, I don't think we came close in the military sort of, 10 minutes to a real firing, but what we had were a series of big false alarms and war scares that when you take them apart now and look at them, they themselves were very, very frightening. We had a false alarm in the United States when Jimmy Carter was president and Zbigniew Brzezinski was called in the middle of the night and told there were missiles coming and he had to call the president. And likewise, on the Soviet side, I opened the book with the story of a false alarm there when their computers malfunctioned and a guy on duty outside of Moscow received a warning that there were incoming missiles, and I tell the story of how he responded.
Yeah, thank God he had common sense.
And it wasn't only this. It wasn't only the glitch false alarms. There was also a period in 1983 called the War Scare, where both sides were so ridden with anxiety and fear that they didn't even see each other's moves clearly. And that was very dangerous. Remember, the missiles are an hair trigger alert. I know the Pentagon doesn't like that term, hair trigger. They now talk about launch ready alert. But the fact is that Reagan and at the time Andropov in 1983 didn't see each other clearly at all. And they were so close to crisis in this period with the shootdown of the Korean airliner, the arrival of the Pershing missiles in Europe. There was an exercise that autumn in November called Able Archer, which the Soviets, we think, essentially made them very nervous that they thought it might be more than an exercise. So it wasn't, and nothing came of it, but this hair trigger thing could have really serious, dangerous ramifications.
And only 10 minutes warning with them subs sitting off our East Coast. David Hoffman, Pulitzer Prize winning The Dead Hand. If you have any interest in national security about the Cold War, you must read this book. Thank you very much, David.
My pleasure.